And now Joe is going to bring us the reading.
Sorry, I'm a bit further back, but that's fine. Okay, the reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, Joe, for that. Just check them on. Right. Very familiar reading. In actual fact, there is no set. We have been going through a series on prayer. And the communion Sundays were left as a free choice. Right? They're a free choice for the speaker. Terrible thing, that is. And I was really sort of praying about what to focus on today. And because we are focusing on communion, I still felt very much led to focus on the cross. That's why the cross is here. Because it's going to be so central to what we're thinking about and talking about today. And I was really thinking about a reading that would encapsulate that without reading the crucifixion accounts from the Gospels. And suddenly Philippians came into my mind, and I thought, oh, that's great. I started preparing it. And then Alison, who's not here today, who oversees the preaching and worship here at the moment, that's her responsibility, reminded me that in actual fact, we're going to look at Philippians in the autumn. And they've already, she's just produced this last week, the schedule for who's looking at what. And I think my vague memory of looking at it and glancing at it, I think I'm actually doing this passage again in the autumn. But it won't be a repeat of this, right? I can assure you, that's it. So you'll all have to come and make sure I'm telling the truth. But this passage is a really wonderful passage. Sometimes it's read in Christmas carol services at the end, you know, as one of the final readings, because it's got that descriptive way of looking through the life of Jesus, the relationship with God, that Jesus came, he came and he died, and then he rose again. And this wonderful thing, many people consider this was a hymn that the early Christians used to sing. Now, if you're thinking we're going to have a nice long sermon, you know, and I can sit back and relax and everything, you can sit back and relax, but we're not. All I'm going to do today is I want to just share with you just a few things from this, a very few things. Then we're going to sing another song, and then we're going to have a time just reflecting on the cross and on God. And just waiting, and waiting on God. Now, part of this, lots of things had triggered this, but there was an interesting thing that I saw last Sunday, whenever it was. I know some people said that the songs of praise that came from the Baptist Assembly wasn't very good, because they didn't actually show any of the worship, did they, from the Baptist Assembly? But some of the testimonies that were on were really good. And there was, if you haven't watched it, do watch it, right? But the lady at the end, the last lady on, was a lady who'd had a stroke. And she talked about this and how she dealt with it and her recovery and lots of things. But she said one very interesting thing that stuck out to me. She said, I'm so busy in church and doing this and that and the other. Having the stroke made me stop and think. And so often, as Christians, we're caught up in doing stuff, doing things. You know, I say to Janet, Janet's my wife, in case you don't know. I say to Janet in the morning, what have we got to do today? And it's, what's the assignments today? Or you've got to do this, 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 and this, you know. And there's a job list ticked off. And you race it. And so much of our life is caught up in doing that. And sometimes we just need to stop. And this is what I wanted to do today. Just stop and just think about the cross. Because the cross is fundamental to our Christian experience and life. And I just want to say three things about it, very briefly. The first thing is, it's our fault. The second thing is, God is the answer. And the third thing is, what we're doing about it. All right? So it's our fault. Now, we said right at the beginning, we said it, Adam and Eve kicked it all off when they disobeyed. They were having this great, wonderful time. If you read the first bit of Genesis, Adam and Eve were walking in the Garden of Eden with God. That's fantastic. But we can't do that because sin came into the world. Because Adam and Eve wanted their own way. Now, some of you know that I used to be a hospice chaplain. And therefore, I did a fair amount of funerals. Not that many, fair amount. But if you Google, you know, what is the most popular piece of music for a funeral? It's by the old crooner. I did it my way, you know? And I always cringe when you have to take a funeral and this piece of music, you know, is played because it's so great, you know? Because it's not about doing it our way. And I know one person who would have rejected that song, and that's Jesus. Because he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? He said, Father, if there be another way, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. Jesus didn't choose to go that particular way. And the great fear is that we should do the same. You know, there's one thing that I can say about everybody in this room now, this minute. One thing that we have all got in common. Now you're all wondering, aren't you? You have all failed. You've all failed. Now, that's a terrible word, isn't it? That's an awful word. You know, what? My eldest granddaughter had her first driving lesson last week. My granddaughter's now learning how to drive. That's scary. She could give me a lift. That's even scarier. I'm even worried about a driving instructor. But that's besides. But the worst thing in the world, I passed my driving test first time, right? But the worst thing in the world must be when you do a test like that and the driver instructor tells you, I'm sorry, but you've failed. What I want to say to you is, yes, you have failed, but you are not a failure. You are not a failure. You are not a failure because Jesus died to take away your sins. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." God is the answer, and he shows it in a cross. I want to tell you a story, but I can't remember where I heard it. I have spent ages Googling everything that I can and tried to find it on the internet, and I can't find it. So if you've heard it before, I get it slightly askew. You will forgive me, because that's who you are, right? And just listen and just pray that I get it right. Because if I get it slightly wrong, it might come over wrong. And there's a naughty word in it, so you'll forgive me. It's not a very, very, very naughty word. No. But I'm just apologizing before I say anything. The story involves a Roman Catholic priest who was talking to a young man and trying to help this young man who was really struggling with life and his problems. And he was really doubting God. He was saying to this Roman Catholic priest, there is no God. You know, there can't be a God because he allows this to happen, that to happen, this to happen, and everything. He was throwing everything at this elderly Roman Catholic priest. In the end, the Roman Catholic priest said, "This conversation reminds me of a young man that I knew. And he had a very similar conversation to what we've had to another priest. And that priest told him, and this conversation took place in a Roman Catholic church. It's important that it's a Roman Catholic church. Think about a Roman Catholic church. We'll come to that in a minute. He told him, after a long conversation, which seemed to be going nowhere, he said to him, "What I want you to do is I want you to walk down to the front of that church. And as you walk down to the front of the church, I want you to lift your eyes to the cross." And of course, it wouldn't be a cross like that in Roman Catholic Church. It would have had the figure of the dying Jesus on the cross. "And when you get to the front and you look up to the cross, I want you to say to Jesus these words: 'Jesus, you did this all for me. Here it comes. And I don't give a damn.'" So the young man got up and he walked down to the front of the church. And he looked up at the cross. And he looked at the figure of Christ on the cross. And he began to say those words: "Jesus, you did this all for me. And I don't give a..." And he couldn't go any further. The elderly priest, who we started with, said to the guy he was talking to, he said, "I know that story is true because I was that young man." He came to the cross. He looked at the cross and he was challenged in a way that he'd never been challenged before. You know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking of all the songs that we could sing about the cross. You know, at the cross where I first saw the light. I won't sing them. The burden of my sin rolled away. You know, and the cross is the fulcrum of it all. It's the crossroads. And Jesus did this for each and every one of us. And that's fantastic. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. But what's our response to this? What does that mean to us? What does it mean to us? I mean, we wear the cross as a badge. We wear the cross as a piece of jewelry. What does it really mean to us? What do we actually do with it? What do we actually do with it? I'm going to tell you about a conversation I had with somebody. And I'm going to try not to mention the person's name. If I do, you will forgive me. And if you think you know who I'm talking about, you will forget. Right. But I was asked to go and see a gentleman who is suffering from memory loss. So there was a bit of that going on. And I was just talking to him, and in the course of the conversation, he said a phrase like this. He said, "I feel far from God." And I heard the phrase, and I sort of stored it in the back of my mind, and I'm thinking, I won't respond to that immediately. Let me think of what I'm going to say, because I haven't really got a clue. Right? You know, I haven't got any wonderful answers. And I stored it in the back of my mind, and I thought, I've got to go back to him. And so after a few moments, when there was a pause, I said to him, "So you feel as though God is far away?" And he said, "Yes." So I said, "You know, God's not far away. God loves you." I just said those words. I said to him, "God loves you." And his face lit up. And there was this big smile on his face. You know, as though I'd given him the best news he'd ever heard. You know, you just felt like, I want to give you a big hug, because you made this visit really worthwhile, because I'd lightened him. I'd showed him some light. But that's what we need to do, isn't it? We've got this fabulous news that Jesus died for each and every one of us. He died for us on the cross to set us free, because he loves us. And just like I said to that guy, there was a smile on his face. When was the last time you shared the good news of Jesus with anybody and it brought a smile to their face? When was the last time you had that opportunity? When was the last time you prayed that God would give you an opportunity? Or are you probably like me and thinks, well, if I say that prayer, he might answer it, and then I'm in real trouble? But you can see the effect and the power that it had on a person. And it's our responsibility to share that. We've got something inside us. If we know Jesus, we've got something inside us that is too wonderful to keep in. We've got to let it out. And we've got to show it to the people that we meet. The cross is something that is beyond power. I can always remember. Do you remember TVAM? Thank you. Some people nod, which means some people are as old as me. All right? Those of you who are younger who haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, it was a breakfast television station. They had trouble with their license early on because they were reported for not having enough spiritual context. So they had on, it was getting towards Christmas, so they had some clergy on. And they were analysing Christmas cards. And this one guy said, I really like this Christmas card. It was a nativity scene of the stable, of the star shining through the broken roof of the stable. But the priest, I think it was an Anglican priest, commented on the fact that the Christmas card, as the light shone through the broken roof of the stable onto the baby Jesus, it made the sign of the cross on the baby. And he said, this is what it's all about. It's about God coming, but it's about God coming and loving us and dying for us in order that we might have that connection with him again. And that was a tremendous thing.